Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 513, Halo 5 Hype, recorded live on October 22nd, 2015. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
I'm your other host, Haas.
And I'm your third host, Godzilla T.
And welcome to less than a week away from Halo 5 Guardians finally getting here, finally launching. It has been an epic ride from when it got announced at E3 a year and a half ago, and we're finally getting to see Halo 5 out in the wild, as we've seen different media outlets streaming. We've been streaming campaign. Multiplayer just got released for embargo today, so lots of good streams going out there. And it's just, the hype level is unreal. It is definitely going to be, whenever Tuesday comes around, it's going to be one of those things where it's like, okay, just time for me to just crash and like shut down for a little bit.
As everybody else is going through no sleep moments.
Sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
Right.
Halo sleep deprivation.
Pretty much.
It will be nice for me to be able to actually start getting back involved in Twitter conversations and, you know, watching my YouTube, the guys I subscribe to on YouTube and stuff like that.
Yeah, I can understand the feeling of wanting to be dark. And a lot of people have been doing it that way too, which,
yeah,
good for you guys for staying that way. But there's
hard.
Yeah, there's lots of people talking about it.
I miss all the people that I interact with on the rig.
So we have quite a bit of things to cover as far as news goes, and then we have a couple of submissions to get through that we haven't talked about in a while. And overall, just some things to kind of point out as you guys get your copies on the 27th, as you guys wait to midnight or 9 p.m. wherever you are in the States. For those that are overseas, I think it's still pretty much midnight everywhere else. But it's been a long time coming. I think we are super, super excited to be playing come Tuesday. I know it's going to be something that I think everyone will enjoy. Even despite some of the stuff that's not there, I think there's going to be a pretty good game to play. So stuff like the co-op, stuff like the extra game types that we have come to know and love from past Halo games. Even though not everything is quite there, or not quite there yet, I think people are going to be pretty happy with what they're going to experience. So come Tuesday, for everyone that is planning to either skip school or work or have your Halsey note to get out of such occurrence or plan to stay up all night, good luck. Have fun. For everyone else that's going to be maybe sleeping in, then you will have quite the game to, or not sleeping in, but actually going to bed and being a responsible adult. You'll have plenty to get your hands on next week.
Yeah, I definitely won't be sleeping in.
Yeah, I'm not sleeping, period. I'm picking it up at 9 o'clock at Microsoft, it's already preloaded. I'm leaving the launch party at Microsoft down in Seattle, and then I am coming home. I am beating the campaign. I'll take maybe a nap. Maybe. I am waking up and I'm playing multiplayer. And
You've got a distinct advantage, though.
What advantage is that?
You get it at 9 o'clock.
Look, I didn't choose this life. The life chose me.
Yeah, you freaking West Coaster.
Yep, you love
it. Yeah, you're a coaster, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
Vol.
I've been debating on going down and hanging at my local Microsoft store for the launch for a while, at least.
Nice.
Yeah, it was just announced Steve Downs and Jen Taylor will be here, so I'm bringing some stuff to get signed.
Oh, damn.
Awesome.
Look at you.
Yeah. Pretty pumped.
Wish I could send you my signing journal, but I will be at the New York event, so they're actually opening up a new Microsoft store, which opens the Monday before the game comes out, so they have a launch party that is starting at 8 o'clock p.m. at the new Microsoft store. And there's going to be lots of 405th there, and I'm going to be there to cover it and maybe help out with some things, possibly. And there's going to Gianna Gavankar, the person that actually voice acts Maya, is going to be at the New York event, so I'll get to meet her there. So that's kind of exciting.
That's very cool.
Laird pointed that out to me earlier today, so thank you for that. And there's supposed to be something else happening with the Halo 5 Live thing in New York as well. I don't have the thing up in front of me at the right this moment, but if I can find it, I'll say what it is. But yeah, so I'll be at the New York event. Haas will be at the Seattle event, which a lot of people are actually going to be at the Seattle event.
Yeah.
It's going to be just huge, crazy. And I think probably, I would say probably Seattle, and I think there's probably one in LA and then the New York one. I think those will probably be like the three bigger ones. And then there's, at least that's in the States, there's definitely more around the world going on as well.
Yeah, that's one of the benefits of living on the coast. You get, you're relatively close to a lot of the major launch sites for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's going to be a pretty interesting. If you guys have the chance to actually go to a launch party, I definitely recommend doing it. I would say if you have some stuff to get signed, depending on where you're at, especially if you're in the New York one or the Seattle one or the LA one, then definitely take it. You might get lucky and find some Halo people there. And then we got some other news to kind of go over as well. There's been a couple of things since we talked last, but one of the big things being Spartan Companies. So that got announced as kind of the new clan system that's going to be used in Halo 5. So if anyone was around during the Halo 2 days, then you kind of remember the clan system. Basically, everyone uses it as an extension of your friends list, but you could actually go into matchmaking playlists specifically for clan battles. But they've kind of done a massive upgrade with the Spartan Companies. So you get to actually go onto Waypoint. You can enlist in companies. You can create your own company. And then when you get four people active on your company, or when you get four people in your company enlisted, then your company becomes active, and then you actually have a few different things you can do on Waypoint. Not sure what the impact is in game yet, if there is going to be one, but you'll basically be able to have your own private forums. You'll be able to set up events and get stuff going between different companies. So there's a lot of clan-like support with the Spartan Companies. So we actually have our own. If you guys want to join up on that, we are planning some events to start off for next week, some Warzone stuff primarily. That seems to be the popular item that most people that have taken our poll so far want to participate in. So we'll have a few Warzone events going on for the launch week of Halo 5 Guardians. And then there's going to be some other events that will get coordinated. We'll do some cross clan stuff or cross company stuff. And overall, we're just really excited to see what can come of this. I'm really interested to see what they'll actually do in game, like if we actually have some kind of Spartan Company playlist, or
I hope they have like a clan wars like they used to back in the day. I loved that.
And I think loved it's one of those that. Things that it kind of, and there, I mean, that is one of those things that really harkens back to Halo 2. So there's been lots of things with Halo 5 Guardians that kind of says, okay, this is 343's Halo 2 in a way. Halo 4 was kind of like Halo 1, except I think personally Halo 1 was a better game for a first game than Halo 4. But Halo 5, with the whole thing where you're going back and forth between two different, in this case, squads, but back in Halo 2, you're going back between Master Chief and Arbiter, and now you're going back and forth between Master Chief and Locke. That's kind of very iconic of Halo 2. You have the clan system that's kind of very iconic of Halo 2. The duration of the campaign, Halo 5 has 15 missions. Halo 2 had 15 missions, if you include the first one, which was just basically a giant cutscene. And there's just a lot of other little ties in that's kind of indicative of Halo 5 Guardians being 343's Halo 2.
You know, if you hold to that, then Halo 6, I ain't going to be able to hit Jack.
I have a feeling it probably won't be that bad.
No.
I hope not. That's the only beef I have with Halo 3 is I still to this day cannot get the shooting down.
Halo 3 is my worst aiming game. Halo 2 is my best.
I have to play about an hour of Halo 3 before I really start getting dialed in. But once I get dialed in and I'm clicking with a group, I can't be running solo. Because Halo 3, you really benefit from having teamwork and compared to other games. So I would like to see a little bit more of that come back. So
I'm I don't know. Let's see how many years. Oh, seven. Yeah, I've been playing Halo 3 for what, 8 years now, and I still can't shoot in it.
Definitely takes me a little while.
It's one of those harder games. I think that one had definitely a higher difficulty curve than a lot of the other games in the past.
Oh yeah, there was definitely a steep learning curve on that one.
Ranking is also in there. So Halo 4 only had kind of the Spartan ranks, and they introduced the CSR really later on, but we're getting ranks right out the gate. So there's kind of rankings there as well. And they've redesigned that whole ranking system.
And I am in love with that ranking system that they are introducing in Halo 5. It, oh man.
You know, I never did read that article they just put out about that.
No?
The ranking and the banning, their policies on that stuff.
Yeah, so we can go over that real quick. That's actually one of the new things that we were going to talk about. So the new CSR system, they've completely redone it, even from the Halo 4 CSR system and probably the Master Chief Collection one as well. But there are five different tiers that you actually get placed into whenever you are, you have your first 10 rounds and then you get placed into one. And then within each one of those ranks, so you have bronze, silver, gold, platinum, and diamond. Those are your five different ranks. And within those ranks, you have six tiers. And one of the things about the ranking system is once you hit a certain rank, then you will not go below that rank. You'll go down tiers within a rank, but you will never go below the bottom of the rank. So if you get up to, like if you sneak your way into platinum or diamond, then you will stay in platinum or diamond. You won't ever go back down. If you kind of sneak in, you'll probably get matched up with people that are better than you, and you'll probably keep losing, but you'll never drop down a rank. So that's kind of nice. And then if you are super elite, if you're really, really good, which I am not, then you'll actually get placed into the Onyx rank. And that's just its own rank. It's like kind of to show that you are in the top of the top. Of everyone in that playlist. And then for the top 200 people in the Onyx rank, they'll actually be given the champion rank, which looks pretty cool. All the icons for these ranks look really awesome.
Yeah, that's one of those I'll never have to worry about showing up on my service record.
Me neither. I will be lucky if I hit platinum, I think, ever.
I'll be a solid bronze.
Well, I think everyone's bronze, so I think you'll be better than bronze.
Yeah, I do too. I'm kind of rededicating myself. I'm going to be very focused in the arena aspect of this time. Probably since the first time since the beginning stages of Halo 3. I'm kind of rededicating myself to that. I've kind of taken it easy, and as of late, I've been kind of just working on no sleep, kind of like those old high school days where 4 to 5 hours of sleep is a good night's sleep, and go through my day and then come home and grind 4 or 5 nights a week. And I'm really excited for that.
Yeah. See, I'm kind of past that. I'm to the point where I play for fun. I don't play to be competitive.
See, competitive is fun for me. That, like, for some people, that's not, but that's like, I grew up always competitive in almost everything I do. So like being competitive and trying to be the best, that's what I find fun. I like casual, like Warzone. I know I'm going to have fun on Warzone, but Warzone is going to be like my laid back time, or, you know, my Fraggin' Fridays time when I'm able to squeeze into there. But outside of that, I am focused on that 4v4.
Well, let me rephrase this. It's not so much the competition part. It's the grind to be to move to the next level.
Like that high level competition.
Yeah, it's I'm not I'm to a point in my gaming career that my level does not matter to me anymore. I just want to get in, shoot some people, have some fun, tease my friends, and that's good. You know, I'm not in it. I wouldn't say what in it to win it, but that's me.
You don't want to be, you're not after to be the best around where nobody else can keep you down.
Yeah, right. Sure.
You don't want to be the very best, like no one ever was.
No one ever was.
Yeah, no one ever was.
Come on, let's keep the reference train going. This is good.
Sure. This is good radio.
We're on a roll, dude.
But the, you know, that part of it is just not interesting to me anymore. You know, in my earlier days, it was. Like when I was playing Halo 2, I wanted to rank up as high as I possibly could. And I made it to the mid 20s. And that's as far as I went. But that's pretty much my skill limit. Now, there are people that do have a higher skill limit. You know, the people that were, you know, hitting 50 and stuff like that in Halo 2. And that is a level that is unattainable for my fingers. They just don't work that way.
Yeah. I got the eye of the tiger.
Yeah. You know, and you're right, Haas. For some people, the competitive part is fun. And don't get me wrong, I'll still play competitive, you know, the 4v4 stuff, because, you know, big team and Warzone, stuff like that, I get bored with it. Yeah. And I like, you know, I like the little 4v4 action, but I'm not going to be in it to attain a real high rank. I'm just going into play.
So, okay. Can I ask? We haven't had a real competitive ranking system. I don't even think Halo 3's ranking system was truly that competitive. Do you think maybe that has, maybe you've acclimated to not having that feeling anymore? Or do you think that's just a stage of life?
I've had that feeling for several years.
Gotcha.
It's not the fact that the prize isn't there. It's the fact that even with the prize there, I don't want it.
Yep.
And, you know, even during the beta, I wasn't driven to rank up. I just played because I wanted to play.
And that makes sense. They're not everyone's going to be like go super, super hardcore mode. That's just not. There are differences within the whole community because there's differences within the community. So I'm going to be
honest. What I look at for the ranking system is I want to be able to play people of equal skill.
And you want to have fun doing it.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to get trounced, and I don't want to trounce somebody. I want a good, challenging game. And I get more enjoyment out of that than I do ranking up.
I do too, but sometimes there's nothing more rewarding than completely embarrassing the other team across you.
Yeah, to me, that's just boring. Now, if they're being jerks, I love it, every inch of it. You know, if they've just been jerks in the chat before the game, I love it whenever that happens.
Well, I mean, regardless of the ranking system being something that you continuously strive to get better in, or if it's just something that's there to help bring fun to the game, it's going to be useful for everybody, whether you are that person that is trying to be the best of the best in a certain playlist, or if you're just going to have fun, because the skills is there to help indicate how you compare it up against others, and people that are focusing on trying to do better are going to use that in that way, and then people that are playing just to have fun, they're not going to necessarily look at the skill to get better or rank up that quickly, but they're going to be using it to have a fun experience because they are matching with people that are similar skill.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So all in all, the ranking system and the skill system is going to be useful for everybody, not just those that are super competitive.
Well, you know, from what you just said about the ranking system, that I like. The fact that once these better players attain that next level, I don't have to worry about them deranking themselves and coming back so they could get easy, have easy games.
Yep.
That is probably one of the unspoken things of this ranking system is you're not going to run into derankers, or in theory you shouldn't, because there's no gain to the person except for being a jerk.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure, you know, it will happen. But
it's going to happen because all they have to do is create a new account. Now that their rank can't
go down. Right, but their rank can't go down. That's the nice thing. So if, you know, I'm trying to help my buddy out, so I'm going to de-rank myself like you could back in Halo 2. Mm. And then basically bring my skill level down so they match us up against crappy people. You don't have to avoid that anymore. And that makes me really happy.
I just think it's going to make it a lot more enjoyable to be in that 4v4 multiplayer.
Yep.
And that's one of the complaints I've always had with Halo. It doesn't matter which game it is, except CE because they didn't have online, but you know, Halo 2, Halo 3, Halo Reach, Halo 4, it was all the same crap. I'd get matched up against people that were obviously a much higher skill level than me. And sometimes I would be the one with high skill level matched up against the lower skill level. And you know those games. It's one thing to trounce a team that has the capability to beat you. It's another thing to just trounce a bunch of noobs. You know, no matter how it is, that's just not fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, going back to the article.
Yeah, so a couple other things about the ranking system is that it's going to be present per playlist. So whenever you go into a different playlist, you have a different rank there. I don't recall seeing anything about a overall rank. I think from what I understood, it's just per playlist, but correct me if I'm wrong, Haas. But as far as kind of the per playlist stuff, some of them are going to have what's called seasons. So every month you have the opportunity to start from scratch and rank up, go through the ranks and try to get to the top. So you'll get reset for the new season is going to be monthly for the playlists that are eligible. And it's actually going to start in December. So whenever you get reset, then you have your 10 games to get placed, and then you get placed into rank, and then you work on up the ladder again. So it's a fresh way to keep reevaluating your skill.
So I really like this, and correct me if I'm wrong, or maybe I missed it. The one thing I want to see from this is a high, like if somebody clicks on my profile, they'll be able to see highest rank achieved in this playlist. So maybe it's not my rank currently because I'm working my way up or whatever, but they can see where I have been to kind of gauge where I'm going. And hopefully that's like a hidden thing till post game stats or friends list. But I would like to see something like that because if you make it up to that platinum or onyx or anything like that, I think you should at least be acknowledged for it permanently. Cause that's going to be a really big achievement for a lot of people.
Yeah, I agree with you, Haas. It should be something that is available to be seen. It's just a matter of when it's available.
Yeah. Well, I think rank should be hidden until post game because that kind of,
it helps discourage quitters.
Yeah. Quitters. Yeah.
Which along with the measures that they discussed in a previous article should help with the quitters. You know, if they quit enough, then they will just be removed from your matchmaking pool.
Yep.
So,
well, I hope they go to the naughty pool that apparently the feedback system apparently has now. So
yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
They get removed from the pool of players that your matchmaking pulls from.
So I don't know if they've said anything specifically about that for Halo 5. I know that's supposed to be there for Master Chief Collection, but I don't think they've said anything in specific.
Well, they have the Xbox system of it.
It's part of the system built into Xbox.
Yeah.
So and they did say that it would be implemented in Halo 5.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember seeing that too.
All right. So as far as the seasons go, there wasn't anything in here specifically saying what you have from last season will be persistent in such a way that you'll be able to see it if you go to someone's profile. I'm guessing it's going to be one of those things that they will have, like if you go to Waypoint or something and look at your service record, I'm guessing that will be something that will be there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's safe to assume that there will be.
Pull up within the game, though, like a quick overview. I can't see why that's what I didn't like about the Halo 4 ranking system. I hated having to go to Halo Waypoint to see it. Like I want all that rank information and a quick stats overview. You know, if I want to get in depth, yeah, I'll go to the website like I used to back in the Bungie.net days. But for just the typical, this is my rank, this is my kills, this is my KD, this is my assist, KDA, you know, I want all that just in the profile overview. I don't feel like I should have to go to a website to get that.
I agree. I think there is going to be something in the game. I haven't looked at the multiplayer yet because I haven't had a chance to actually hop on since I got back from work today. I mean, I would hope so.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some limited information in, you know, just in the UI of Halo 5. And then, you know, you can go on to the waypoint and get deeper into the stats. I just hope that what they put on the website is as complete as what Bungie had.
Well, like for which game from Bungie? Because I don't know if it's something that they'll have heat maps.
I don't want heat maps.
Heat maps I can live without. Don't get me wrong. I mean, as far as
you said, everything that Bungie had. So that's one of the things that Bungie had.
Well, as far as your personal stats.
So it seems like all that stuff is going to be there.
Yeah. You know, your kills, your deaths, your weapons kills, medals earned, the overall match stats for you and the other players in it.
Do you remember Atlas?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder, I really like, was it just that underutilized or?
Well, the big problem with Atlas was the fact that it was buggy. 90% of the time, I couldn't get the map to load before the game was over. Yeah, because I did try to use it. And yeah, it just,
I paid money for that.
It just didn't work.
Well, the thing about Atlas, too, is that whenever you're trying to play multiplayer, you're not going to be looking off to the side for anything. Like, okay, I would say Atlas, if it was in Warzone, that would be more useful than Atlas in a standard Halo match. Because mm-hmm. there's so much going on screen where you really don't have time to just look completely off the screen at a different screen and then try to come back. Because by that point, you're already halfway down to being dead if someone decides to come shoot you while you're looking at your Atlas. So for something with Warzone, where you have...
It definitely has to be a slower pace, yes.
Yeah, so a little bit slower pace. And then with Warzone, it's definitely a lot more strategic in that you could use it to know when AI bosses are around, kind of where fire is going on, concentrated. Mm-hmm. Like if you see a bunch of X's pop up, then you know that there's the enemy's either heavily focused there or there's an AI boss there, that kind of stuff. So I would see Atlas as being something perfect for Warzone, but just for your standard Halo multiplayer, it's just not really useful. Maybe if you're like a coach, that might be useful.
Well, the biggest downfall I had with it is, one, the only thing I could use it on was mobile, which really sucks. Being if it was on a PC where I could have it, you know, on a 20-inch monitor or something like that, it probably would be more useful because I could glance at it, I could glance over at it, and then back to my game and be able to pick up the information I need quickly. But going from, you know, your game monitor down to a cell phone, it just takes too long to process the picture on the cell phone because it's so small.
Yep.
And that's probably the biggest problem I had with it. Because, you know, I did try to use it, and
I did too. It just wasn't that useful.
Yeah, it wasn't that useful because, for one, it took forever for it to load.
So I never had the problem of it taking that long to load. Like, it took me maybe 5 to 10 seconds within the game starting, and then it was good.
Yeah. For most of the times I used it, and this probably had a lot to do with the wireless network that I had at the time, sometimes it wouldn't even load before the game was over.
Hmm.
And sometimes it wouldn't even realize what map I was on until I was actually in the game where I couldn't even launch it.
Hmm.
So there were a lot of bugs in that system. Now, if they brought that back for Warzone, I think it could be really useful.
I think it'd be too chaotic in Warzone. There's so much going on.
Well, no, see, that's just it. Warzone, yeah, it's fast paced, but you have a lot more downtime between battles.
Mm.
You know, where in a 4v4 match, small arena type, you only got a few seconds before you're back in battle. But if you're traversing from your spawn to an AI battle, you know, you could have 30 seconds of travel time, depending on if you're on foot or if you're in a vehicle. And in a war zone, there is plenty of places where you could just pause off to the side, look at your Atlas or whatever they decide to call it, if they do it, and then come back to your game and be well informed of where you need to go. I just think it's a lot, you know, I'm with Dust. I think it's a lot better fit to a Warzone type game type than it would be, you know, 4v4 Slayer, 4v4 Captured Flag.
Yeah, because you would also have, yeah, the time to do so, to even look at it.
Especially when you're like requesting a wreck.
Mm-hmm.
That's the perfect time to quickly glance over, analyze your battlefield, and maybe make a decision on where you're going to spawn or what weapon you want to choose, and then go.
Yep.
Listening 343?
You heard that.
Probably not. They're probably getting ready for launch.
What?
They'll listen to it after Tuesday.
Yeah.
You mean that's a stressful time right before a launch?
You know, trying to make sure everything's ready.
That's interesting. Beyond me.
So a couple other things from the CSR ranking article too, is they outlined a little bit of the matchmaking and banning system. So one of the things that is the primary thing whenever Halo is looking for a match for Halo 5 is low ping. So making sure that everyone has a low ping connection to the dedicated server that you're going to be running on. And then the next thing from that is going to be based on your rank. So within your rank, the system's going to look for the exact rank that you are and try to match people with a very low ping in your region for the dedicated server. So I think there's maybe, I don't know, 5 to 7 different Xbox Live Azure centers in the States. And there's 2 or 3 in Europe. There's one in Australia, one in South Africa, something like that. So it'll try to find the lowest ping, and then it'll open up the ranking bubble. So it'll start off with exact match, and then it'll do one on the other side. So very similar to how Halo 3 did it, where it tried to exactly match your rank, and then it kind of branched out as needed.
A-okay with that.
Yep.
Definitely.
And then there is no join in progress on any arena Woo-hoo! Playlist.
Just on arena?
Yeah, Warzone. Just on arena. Warzone, okay. They said there will be join in progress.
Yeah, Warzone will have join in progress. Campaign will have join
in
progress.
I think Warzone needs that. I'm interested to see what they choose to do when Big Team Battle finally releases. I kind of hope.
I think that's going to be no join in progress.
That's what I'm kind of hoping.
Because to me, that's still arena.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Technically, Breakout's arena too, even though I've been kind of classifying it separate. But yeah, so everything arena is going to be no join in progress. Doesn't necessarily mean every playlist in arena is going to be ranked, but every playlist in arena, at least by the way they wrote the article, makes it sound like that none of them are going to be join in progress, which I think is good. I'm perfectly okay with the whole Warzone being join in progress. Completely cool with that.
Choose your teammates wisely is what that really means. If you're worried about people with a party. Quitting on you.
Go in with your company. That's what they're there for. It would be cool if there was something in game where, like, you know, for the Master Chief Collection, you hit X to pull up your friends list. If there was like hit Y to pull up your Spartan company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or in Halo 2, you had Y to bring up your friends list, and then you could, I can't remember the exact button, but you could go over to your clan and it would be right there. You had
X to go to your clan or.
Yeah. It was something like that. And then you could also look at your recent players all right there in one like simplified quick access menu. I really liked that.
I just hope that in Halo 5 that you can see your entire friends list and not just the people playing Halo 5.
Yeah. Yep.
I can test that right now.
I don't know. I kind of just I'm glad we've advanced past what Halo 2 was and Halo 3 was, but some of those features you kind of would have figured like that's a awesome staple to have there, but
I mean it was in
it's Halo not just 2, a 3-4-3,
Halo 3, Halo Reach.
You know, if you had Halo 3, if you remember Halo 3's, that was built in through the little quick menu. I mean,
it wasn't in Halo 3, but it was available on the 360.
Yeah.
But even in Reach.
Yep.
In Reach, you had a friends list right there in the matchmaking or in your lobby. you could see what friends were online. It grouped the people that were on Reach in, you know, separately, but you could see all your friends.
Well, it looks like that the Instant On did not automatically download the update that I need, so I can't check right now.
Oh.
You're having that problem too, huh?
Well, I mean, it downloaded the game just fine, but I guess it just didn't do the update.
Yeah, games, it works fine. But whenever it comes to updates, I always have to download the update and install it.
Oh, well.
Anyway.
Yeah, we'll figure that out later. So onto the banning stuff. There's actually some pretty strict rules to banning, which I actually just implemented in the Master Chief Collection as well, or at least most of them. So there are heavy penalty bans. Of course, you get a few like freebies. It's not like they're going to be like if you quit once or betray once and you're instantly banned. They're not that mean. But it is something where if you repeatedly do negative behavior, so things such as quitting matches early, betraying or team killing, being idle or AFK, which is something that I don't think they really tracked before, which is nice to see that. Intentionally committing suicide to maybe not finish the game or whatever, or excessively disconnecting from games, then you are going to be, it's going to kind of tally up. And if you have so many repeat offenses, then it's actually going to temp ban you from matchmaking. If you keep on doing it, the duration of the ban is going to get longer and longer and longer. And it's just not going to be fun for you if you decide to keep being a negative player to the experience of others. It's one of those things where they think that if you're matching up, it should be a great experience. And if you are degrading the experience of others, well, then you should stop degrading the experience of others.
That's good.
So don't quit early. Don't rage quit. Quit if you need to go somewhere, because that's only like once. Don't betray intentionally. Don't keep on suiciding. Don't idle.
Oh, and to every Halo player out there, when you are playing, when you're running next to the tank, do not jump in front of the cannon.
Beware of your surroundings.
Yes.
Play smart.
One of the things I've noticed that is a lot of betrayals are just from not being aware of your surroundings. Now, you know, games like Griffball, okay, you can kind of get a pass there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this has personally happened to me. I've had the same guy jump in front of my cannon on the Scorpion twice in the same game.
Intentionally or just because he was stupid?
Because he wasn't paying attention.
Okay. So yeah, be aware of your surroundings and you'll be fine. One of the other things too about quitting is that if you do quit any match, then you lose any rec points or any XP that you've earned for that match. So whether it's because you lag out, which unfortunately it happens that you lag out. All right, but if you quit early, then you will suffer a loss on your record and then you will lose all of the rec points and XP that you earned for that match. So in other words, play to have fun. Don't quit. Don't be a bully. Don't betray.
Don't rage quit. Just stay patient. Take your beating, I would say, take your beating like a man.
Or a woman. We have women.
Or a woman. That's why I was...
Above everything else, people, remember it is a video game. It is not real life. You're not going to die if you lose a match. It's a game. Play the game and enjoy it. I know it gets frustrating. I'm the same way, man. There are times that I want to break my controller in half because it's so frustrating. But the one thing, if you're getting frustrated with the game, finish your match, set the controller down for a little while, go get a drink, go ride a bike, go sit out in your backyard, whatever you do to relax. Just do something different for a little bit and come back. Just remember, it's a video game.
Yep. So moving on to a couple of other things. You can now customize your Spartan on Halo Waypoint. So one of the things that they added in addition to having the Spartan companies is the ability to customize your loadout. Or sorry, not your loadout. Your armor, your helmet, and there'll be a couple other things too as they roll out. So visors, color. And I think in the little video that they had, they mentioned that you could customize your like weapon skins and whatnot, but that feature wasn't in there or isn't currently in there don't know if that was just misspeaking in the video or what, but you can currently go on to Halo Waypoint, and there's actually a button on there. I'm not sure if it's going to be permanent, but you can actually customize your Spartan as you would in the game for your armor, your helmet, your visor, any of the color combinations that you want for your armor, and of course your gender. All the stuff that you've unlocked from the beta is currently be there. So if you play to the point where you unlock the Helios grill stuff or any of the Mark VI stuff, then you can actually go in and set up your armor. So when you get into multiplayer for the first time, you're good to go. You're set. Any of the additional stuff, like if you've redeemed Xbox Live codes from Rec Packs, whether it's from Last Light or any of the Mega Block sets or the McFarlane figures or anything else that you've gotten a rec code from, then those will not show up on the waypoint side until you go and open the packs in Halo 5. So you actually have to go into the game and open the pack, and then you see what you get in the pack. So I know, like, for some of the McFarlane figures or the pre-order figures, you have specific skins or armors that you get, but those usually get accompanied by two other random wrecks. So until you actually open that pack and you don't know what the other two cards are, then you won't actually be able to view it in Waypoint. So make sure you go online. If you think you're missing something, make sure you go into the game, go to open packs, and then that'll be all the packs that you have to open that you've either redeemed through Xbox Live codes or that you've purchased with rec points or whatever. So make sure you go do that. There is also some stuff about purchasing rec packs. I forget what the costs were. Do you guys remember what the costs were off the top of your head? I have to go find it.
No. actually, if you
was it two, three,
back,
and four?
I think you scroll back in our staff chat, it's in there.
Was it a $2, $3, and $4?
Something like that.
I forget. I'm trying to go back and find it. Found the Waypoint article. So, okay, you can only purchase silver and gold packs, and silvers are $1.99 and golds are $2.99.
Okay. Those are cheap enough.
So, let's see. A couple other things on the news front to cover real quick. The Minecraft Halo mashup pack got an update. So you can actually skin your character in Minecraft to be anyone from Fire Team Osiris or Blue Team. So they add that. That's a free update to anyone that has the mashup pack. If you're looking to buy the mashup pack, then it is $3.99. And that also gets you some cool textures for Minecraft. It's the pack textures, like, similar to the Elder Scrolls one, and there's a Mass Effect one, so it's complete Halo world. There's like 5 or 6 different areas that are recreated in Minecraft for it, and the little discs also have some of the Halo soundtracks on there. So if you have the mashup pack, then it's the free update to you on 360 and Xbox One, and if not, you can go and buy the mashup pack for $3.99. Also, the soundtrack is available for listening for a limited time up on SoundCloud. 343 put up the soundtrack kind of in anticipation of the game coming out next week. Not sure how long that's going to be up there, but I'm guessing it's going to be maybe until the soundtrack releases on the 30th, or at least until the game launches on the 27th. They also detailed some of the pricing for the different versions of the soundtrack that you can get, and there are 4 different versions that you can buy. So one of them is a digital version, which you can currently get right now on either iTunes or Amazon, and that is $16. You have the standard CD, which is $25, and that comes with the MP3 download card. There's also a clear vinyl that is available only from Hastings with a limited of 1,000 copy run, which also includes an MP3 download card. And then there is the limited edition, which I will be spending more money towards. And that is for $50, which includes the CDs. It's two discs. It comes with the vinyl double album. And then it also has a Blu-ray with 5.1 surround sound editions of the soundtrack. And then the cinematic exclusive, The Sprint, is also going to be on the Blu-ray as well. It includes an orchestral sheet music of the Jameson Lock track. And then you also get a digital download card featuring exclusive bonus tracks. So that is the soundtracks. And I am definitely looking forward to getting the limited edition one. That one sounds ridiculously awesome.
Do you even have a record player?
Nope.
I'm buying one this Christmas.
Are you really?
Yeah, we got a ton of them at my work. And so apparently that's a hot holiday item this year. So
don't buy a cheap one, man.
Well, yeah, I'd probably spend about 75 to 100, but
that's a cheap one.
Are you kidding me?
Yes. Cheap record players do not do LPs any justice.
Well, that's just great. Thanks for pooping on my parade.
I mean, if you want to listen to records, I guess that's better than nothing. But I've had good ones and I've had cheap ones, and it makes a difference. A lot of the cheap ones, you don't get all the sound out of them because the needles are too rigid. Mm. They just don't follow the contours of the record very well. So you tend to lose out on some of, you know, certain parts of songs. It's probably nothing that you would miss right off the bat until you heard a high quality playback of it, like from an MP3 or a CD or the Blu-ray. But I found that a cheap record player, you really do get what you pay for. I mean, I've dropped
$50.
Yeah,
I do too.
Thanks. I've dropped $50 on just a needle.
Wow.
Serious
anyway,
stuff.
Lesson over.
Nah, it's all good. It's all good. So yeah, the soundtrack is going to be out there on October 30th, which is the Friday after the launch, right? Yes. So if you're looking to get the soundtrack, go ahead and pre-order it on iTunes or Amazon if you're looking for the digital only. And then if you're looking for hard copies, then you can find those at any brick and mortar store, any online store. And I think they just said today that the limited edition was starting to show up on sale in places too. So that's going on as well. There's also, and this is actually pretty cool, not necessarily officially Halo, but if you're looking to win some really cool Halo stuff, like basically a complete package to play Halo with, then GameSpot's actually doing a really cool giveaway. They have a grand prize of a Halo 5 Xbox One limited edition bundle, which also comes with a limited edition of the game, the console, the controller, comes with a suite of Mega Bloks. Comes with the Boomco Needler. Also comes with the Astro A40s and M80 mix amp, the Halo 5 ones, and then also comes with the 55-inch Physio TV. So if you actually go over to GameSpot, there's another 3 days left in this giveaway, and there's one grand prize winner that's basically a complete package for playing Halo 5. So you get the TV, you get the headset, you get the console, controller, game, and you get additional stuff. You get a suite of 4 or 5 different Mega Block sets and a Boomco Halo 5 Needler. So this is, if you're looking for some really cool Halo stuff to get, then definitely a giveaway to not pass up on. And then there's going to be 50 other first place prize packages, including the suite of Halo Mega Blocks and then the Boomco Blaster.
Please pick me, GameSpot.
No, pick me.
The thing is, I already have all of that except for the Vizio TV, because the Vizio TV I have, I think, is a 47-inch.
I have the console, but everything else sounds great.
I have the consoles, I have the controllers, I have the headset, I have the Boomco, I have 2 of the 4 sets.
Let me
sets.
Get greedy American right now. I want more, and I want it now.
Okay, Stella.
So definitely go over and check that out. It's over on GameSpot. Pretty cool giveaway. There's 3 days left, so by the time you're hearing this, is probably just 1 day left or 2 day. That's going to be closing on, I guess it's Sunday the 25th is when it would be closing. Don't get greedy, Dust. I have not actually entered into it, so that's not something that I plan on doing. I'll let other people do it since I already have all that stuff. So, yeah. So that's going on over for another giveaway. And then Let's see. Last but not least, there is the 343 Gilt O'Lantern contest. It's the annual pumpkin carving contest that HBO puts on, except they did miss a year. But other than that, it is annual. So if you have some artistic pumpkin carving skills and are pretty good at doing some really cool Halo artwork on your pumpkin carvings, then this is definitely a contest to enter. It's something that's kind of been a community classic, and it's just one of those really cool things to get involved with. And there's some really amazing carvings that come out of this too. The past couple of years, 343 actually put up some stencils for you to carve your own pumpkins, although they didn't do it this year, and I'm guessing that's probably because of the launch that's impending here next week. Maybe they'll put out some stuff for next week for people to carve pumpkins with, maybe not, but I already saw one on Twitter earlier this evening of someone doing the legendary sword and elite skull with the shield. So that looked pretty cool. And there have been some really crazy complex one in the past for some of the past contests. And they're just like, how do people do that? So if you are talented at all with carving pumpkins and are good at doing some Halo artwork, then it's something that you should check out. If you go over to HBO, halo.bungie.org, that is, not the TV channel, then I think there, right now there's a link on the home page, if I am not mistaken. It's just in a banner right up at the top of any of the news posts. So definitely go over and check that out and hope to see you guys participate. If you do participate, let us know. We'd like to see some of the submissions you guys are sending over there. So that's going to cover it for the news part of the show. We got some other things to talk about. We have some submissions that have been in the mailbox for a little while that we want to get to.
Dust, there was one other thing that I heard about. I don't know if you guys heard about this either. Some people that have pre-downloaded Halo 5 Guardians, it is possible that you did not download the full game.
I did hear about this. Yeah, go ahead for it. Fill us in.
So basically, the way you find out is go into your games and apps and change your sort to size and look at your Halo 5 Guardians. You should be looking at a 60 gigabyte file at minimum. If it's the size, generally it is. If it's a problem, is around 40 megabytes. It's just not downloading the full game. Basically, all you have to do is delete the game and reinstall it, and it will. They have corrected the problem, and it will fully download the game with the. And I think you'll even include the 9 megabyte. Or 9 gigabyte patch now. So be sure to double check your game install just so you're ready for Tuesday night.
All right. Thank you for that PSA. I think it was very helpful. So yeah, if you think there's a error with your Halo 5 install, definitely do that. And I think if I saw that right, it was most of the people who downloaded the game before September 21st.
Yes.
Okay.
It was before September 21st. Yes.
Okay. Awesome. So this first submission that we're going to be reading comes from GameDude03. We are pretty familiar with GameDude, so thanks for writing in. He says, "Hey, gents and lads, still love listening to and playing on game nights with you guys. Again, can't say how great it is to be in this even though small community of Halo gamers. So by now, you guys have talked about Forge and its release in December, but I have to say that I felt relief when 343 announced Forge would not be at launch. Now, with so many games to play, I still want Halo to be the one, my game." I should have pre-edited some of these. Anyways, "but with awesome games like Mass Effect, Tomb Raider, Assassin's Creed, and GTA, I feel so overwhelmed, but I love 343's decision to delay it, giving time to polish it and seeing from what they've shown, the wait is worth it, and it gives time for me to play through all the games I need to. Then I can be whelmed." Never seen whelmed used that way before. Anyways, thanks for reading. Keep on fragging. "Why is my bed full of grenades?"
Nice one, game dude.
"Why is my bed full of grenades?" One of the best lines. Still can't believe that wasn't ad-libbed. Definitely right up there. Still can't believe that wasn't ad-libbed.
Well, they've got some really good writers.
I guess they do, yeah. Oh, boy. So thank you, GameDude, for writing in. It's good to see you still kicking around over here on the Podtacular side of things. I think I have one other one somewhere. Actually, it's just a guy asking to be on the show. So never mind. That's the only one. Wow, okay. And then there's another one that's just asking to be on the show. All right. Well, we might get some community people on a little bit later. I will say, if there are people looking to be on the show, the best way to kind of get on the show is do what Mending Mercy does and interact with us on Twitter, participate in our live streams, and all that stuff. That's honestly the best way, because that's visual feedback that you are engaging with us. And that's kind of what we want to see. There is one other one, but it's kind of a more of a visual. It's someone actually did a kind of an evolution of the Master Chief graphic, and there's been a few of them, but this one's pretty good. It's actually a pretty cool infographic, and I'll put a link here in the chat for everyone that's kind of watching on Twitch right now. But it talks a little bit about the design choices from the pre-build of Halo, like whenever Bungie was looking at it as a third-person shooter. Talking a little bit about the design elements for how Master Chief has evolved over time. So it's a pretty interesting read. If it's something that you're kind of interested in the techie side or the artsy side of Halo, then I think it's worth checking out. So that came from Gentry. So thank you, Gentry, for sending that in. It's a pretty good graphic. It's something that's a little bit different than what we've seen before, because we've always seen kind of the side-by-side of all of the different Master Chiefs. So it's actually interesting to get a little bit of story behind why certain elements of Master Chief were changed or updated or any of that stuff. So that was pretty cool. So a couple of things I wanted to touch on before we wrap up the show, just kind of as a heading into Halo 5 for those that are going in, is make sure that you have, or just kind of make sure that you have some good understandings of a few things. Is for some of the rec stuff, make sure that you, if you got the limited edition or the digital deluxe edition or the collector's edition, then the two premium Warzone packs that you're supposed to be getting, or no, sorry, not two, 14. The 14 premium packs you're going to be getting, head over to your open packs menu under requisitions, and they're all going to be there. So whenever you go into the game, you won't necessarily go to the store to get them, although they are there. But if you go to the open packs instead, you'll actually see them all there, and you can just open them up. You'll see 14 lined up. Any of the codes that you've redeemed from the stuff like the McFarlane figures or the books or whatever, those will also be in the open packs, like I mentioned earlier. Another thing to mention, too, is a few people have been getting the limited editions and limited collector's editions and have only seen one code, and they're like, where's my Fall of Reach code? Where's my rec pack codes? Well, what they did is everything is bundled into one code. So you get the game, you get your Warzone rec packs, and you get your Fall of Reach access all in one code. So don't worry if whenever you get it, maybe if you get the limited collector's edition later on, or if you get the console later on, get the bundle. If you're wondering where all your codes are, it's just in one code. Hopefully that clears up some confusion for people if anyone is looking at that. Also to note as well, for some of the other cool digital stuff, I think mostly for the like any of the beta stuff or any of the other promo stuff, like if you downloaded the Halo channel, like you get the promotional rec pack in there, or if you did the Halo 5 experience, those will also be in your open packs as well. Another little thing too is, and I actually plan on making a video on this, for anyone that's going to look for the intel, use your Artemis. The Artemis is basically there to kind of help discover like where you're supposed to be going, and it points out weapon caches and whatnot. You don't have it as the Chief, but you have it as Locke or anyone on Fireteam Osiris. So if you're looking for intel, if you hit the Artemis button, which is down the D-pad, it does this little kind of sweep out. You'll get a visual ping if it's within a certain range and you're actually looking at it, of where intel is. It's kind of like this blue orb in a way. I think that's kind of the best way to describe it. You'll also get an audio ping depending on how far away it is. And if you have some headsets on, or if you have surround sound, then you can use that to get a general direction of where it is. And then also, if you're someone that usually plays without Rumble turned on, turn on your Rumble, because even if you don't get an audio or visual ping, if it's like just kind of on maybe the edge of where you are, you'll get a vibration in your controller. That's feedback. So you get a visual cue, you get an audio cue, and you get a feedback cue if there's a piece of intel nearby. So if you're looking for intel, use that to your advantage. I found many of the intel on the Osiris missions because of the Artemis. And I have very few on the blue team missions because I don't have the Artemis.
Yeah. When you're playing blue team, you're on your own.
Pretty much. It doesn't work on skulls. I will add that too. Skulls, you still have to go find on your own. I've only found three of them. One of them on my own. Two of them I've had other people help me with. So I still have to go try to find the skulls or confer with some other people to figure out where they are. But just that's an important note that I don't think has been kind of advertised, but it's very useful. Let's see, what else? I think those are kind of all the PSAs that I have for Halo 5 specifically. Yeah, so I think as far as what we have to talk about tonight, that kind of wraps it up. There's lots of cool stuff coming down the pipeline. There's Halo 5 Live that's going to be starting at 3 p.m. Pacific time on October 26th. That's going to be 6 p.m. Eastern time. It's going to be a 6-hour live stream with exclusive looks at the game, with developers coming on, with people within the game, so like artists and developers and probably some actors on there as well. There's going to be events all around the world happening. There's stuff in, I think, Sydney that's going on, London, the States. There's stuff happening everywhere. You're going to get an exclusive look at the Fall of Reach. There's just a lot of stuff going on. So if you've gotten the digital edition of the game, and this kind of applies to mostly people in North America because other regions will probably already have the game, but if you are in the States and you have the digital edition and you're just at home and you want to get even more hype for the game, then definitely check out Halo 5 Live. There's actually going to be a page on Xbox.com. I don't have the URL off the top of my head, but it'll probably be plastered all over Xbox.com when it goes live. So make sure you check that out if you're looking for something to kind of hold you over until you actually get to play the game. Anything else I missed, guys, that I should bring up that you can think of?
No. I'm pretty sure that's everything.
So I have a couple of other videos coming. I'm going to do the one on the Artemis thing. And then I just did my unboxing tonight for my console, my limited collector's edition, Astros and Master Chief controller. Going to do a video for my first rec pack opening. So I'm going to do that here shortly after the podcast. After I get dinner, that is. And we're going to be doing plenty of community nights. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff on Twitch. Trying to get that going. We'll have an actual Twitch schedule out here this weekend of when we plan on streaming stuff, when our game nights are. And we do have a few nights of people being able to get involved with Warzone and Arena. From what it sounds like, for at least those that have already enlisted into our company, a lot of people want to do the Warzone stuff. So there is some interest for doing Arena, but it seems like mostly everyone is interested in doing Warzone. So we're going to be heavily focusing on Warzone, at least for the kind of towards the start of the game. And we've also been reached out to by a group that is interested in doing a breakout league. So if you are part of the company and want to participate in breakout, then make sure you post over. I'll actually start up a thread over on our forums and then the forums for our company for anyone that's interested in participating in the breakout league that they're trying. Once we get more information on that, we'll also talk about it on the show and put an article out about it as well. Yeah, I think that's it. I don't think there's anything else to say. Hype level is insane. I've been playing
off the charts.
Yeah,
it's exhausting how high it is.
I will say I am very happy with the campaign. I will leave it at that. I think a lot of people are going to enjoy it. Go into it with an open mind, and I think you'll really enjoy the campaign. So We will be streaming on Friday. We will be streaming Saturday, and we will be streaming Sunday multiplayer stuff. So make sure you check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to be doing giveaways for each one of those days as well on the stream. So make sure you are also following Twitch or following us on Twitch so you know when we go live and have a chance to kind of win some cool giveaways. So we have Mega Blocks, we have posters, we have buttons, we have a few other Halo things to give away. So it's definitely a good time to head on over and watch some gameplay and also have a chance to win some pretty cool stuff. So that is going to be it for us tonight. Thank you everyone for tuning in who were over here on Twitch. And for those who downloaded the show, whether it's through iTunes or any other podcast feed, thank you for downloading us and listening to us. Make sure you check us out on our social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook. We've been uploading the heck to YouTube. We're on Instagram. And also make sure you're following us on Twitch. Make sure you are following some of the other podcasts on the podcast network. There are some great podcasts over there. If you're looking for some other podcasts that are gaming specific to get into, or if you're just interested in maybe some other games like Destiny or Critzcast or EVE Online, then definitely check out some of the podcasts over on the podcast network. They're really good quality podcasts with some great personalities, and you will not be disappointed. If anyone is going to New York, please let us know. We would love to say hi and get you some cool freebies. I will be in New York. Haas will be in Seattle. So come say hi to us if you see us. I will be most likely rocking my Podacular t-shirt. Not sure about Haas, but
I'll be rocking it. And I might have some Halo 5 Sounders t-shirts to give away down there if you see me. They're all size large. I apologize, but that's all I got.
Haas with the hookup. Those are some coveted shirts too. Oh, before we wrap up, GT, give us a little synopsis on your NASCAR weekend last week. You got to actually go to the race where the Halo NASCAR, the Hunt 88 and Hunt the 1 were actually racing. So how'd that go?
What? What? I hear you. What? Oh. It was loud. Oh, actually, it was a lot of fun. I truly do need to thank everybody at 343 for providing me a ticket to go there. It was an honor to go represent Podtacular at the NASCAR race. Not to mention, it was just fun to go, but it was different. This was actually my first Sprint Cup race. You know, I've been to Nationwide, NARCA, and a lot of the lower levels, but this was my first pro level event, if you want to put it that way. We actually got to sit straight across from the 88 pit, which worked out because
that's cool. You
know, my wife is like a Dale Earnhardt fan. Like, she had her t-shirt on, she had her hat on.
I'm gonna guess you had all your Halo stuff on.
Her sweatshirt on. I wore my Podtacular shirt.
Nice way to rep.
Hey. I did actually meet a guy there that was a Halo fan. He didn't know Podtacular, but he was a Halo fan.
Nice.
And he was kind enough to let me kind of hang out and get a couple of pictures of Master Chief and Kiki in the starter stand.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the pictures didn't turn out that well. I really need to get a better camera. But
them over anyways. I'll put them in the article.
I have to say this. I feel sorry for the guy that was wearing a Master Chief shirt or suit, because watching him climb the ladder was painful. If you ever want to know what that's like, tie sticks to your legs and then try to climb a ladder.
Yeah, anyway. I can't imagine that'd be fun.
But anyway, he did it very gracefully, but you could see the struggle. The 88 and the 1. They started okay. The 88 started 15th. The 1 started, I believe, 28th. Yeah, something like that. They held their own for about the first half of the race. And then they, unfortunately, things went downhill for both of them. It turned out that the 1 did finish ahead of the 88. Locke won this round. But it was a 20th, 21st finish. So they were nose to tail, sort of.
Okay.
It was a lot of fun. The crowd there is truly amazing. If any of you follow me on Twitter, I did post a little snippet of video that I recorded while I was at the race from the very start of the race.
Did see that.
The Vine does not do the noise justice.
Oh, cell phone let me quality tell you, microphones.
You ever hear the term, it sounded like a freight train? Well, a lot of people would equate the noise that these cars make coming towards you to sound like a freight train. Actually, to me, the sound that you get when you just crack your window, you know, like about, you know, an inch or so open, you get that real kind of deep rumble.
Yeah.
Magnify that to the point where you can feel it in your chest. You could actually hear the cars coming at you before you hear the motors. The sound that they make just punching a hole through the air.
Okay.
Now, once the cars get next to you, the motors overcome that sound, but you get this deep, just guttural rumble coming at you. You could feel it in your seat, and it's not the engines. Now, granted, yeah, the engines are really loud, but the only time you really hear it is on restarts. You know, after they've made that first trip around and they're coming back by the grandstands, you just hear this, and it just rolls through the seats. It's awesome.
And okay,
that is something that I'd never heard before, because, you know, I've watched hundreds of races on television, and the microphones on those cameras, just either they've got them squelched down to where they don't broadcast that, or they just don't pick it up.
They probably haven't specifically tuned because of race environment.
Yeah, it's an awesome sound. If you guys ever get a chance to go to a Sprint Cup race, if you're into racing, if you don't like racing, that's fine. I would highly recommend it. It's not the best way to watch a race. I will guarantee you it is not the best way to watch a race. You will miss so much. But just the experience of being there and hearing the sounds in real life is awesome. It's worth doing at least once.
Sweet. Awesome. Well, I'm glad you had a great time.
Definitely.
So that's going to wrap it up for us again. We will see you guys on Tuesday next week for the final episode of Hunt the Truth. It does come out on Monday, but after conferring with Mr. GT and Mr. Toa Freak, we have decided to keep to our schedule and do our last Hunt the Truth episode on Tuesday next week. And then at some point, we're actually going to get Noah, who is the writer behind Hunt the Truth, and probably Crash, and maybe a few of the voice actors from Hunt the Truth on the show to kind of do, like, just kind of talk about how, in my opinion, how well produced the show was made, just the personalities, the voice actors, like everything. Just get them all on the show, or get as many of them on the show as we can, and just kind of nerd out to how awesome this has been. Because at least for me, being a podcast host and doing this thing on a week-to-week basis, this whole podcast thing, and No Laird, I have still not yet listened to I Love Bees. Shoot me now. I just find it personally amazing and awesome, and I really enjoy the effort and quality that they've put into this thing. It's so, so amazing what they've done with this.
No, it is absolutely awesome. The Hunt the Truth series is, it's really hard for me to put into words how impressed I am with them. I will be just doing my best impression of Homer Simpson.
Well, I'm gonna see if I can talk with Gianna when I'm in New York and see if she's still up for it, because she did drop by whenever we did the pilot episode stream. So she did pop in there for a little bit and see if she's still willing to do it. Talk to Noah, talk to Crash, maybe get Grim on as well. See if we can get some other lore people who help contribute to Hunt the Truth on. So that's going to be coming down the pipeline. And then, not exactly sure, we're going to change up the format of the podcast a little bit to kind of reflect that Halo 5 is coming out. So some of the things that we did in the past with the podcast is we did customs. We had a custom show, we had a campaign show, we had a multiplayer show, and we had these kind of shows that we would do kind of like from month to month. So not exactly sure how that's going to work out quite yet. We are going to be doing plenty of streams, so we're going to do a Let's Play series where hopefully, if Bio gets internet in time, all four of us will go run through the campaign and we'll do that on Twitch, and we'll throw those videos up on YouTube, and we got some other videos that we have planned that hopefully we can get going. We've got some new staff members on, which we'll be introducing here pretty soon as well. And overall, it's going to be a fun time. There's a lot of stuff we want to do with Halo 5. And if you guys are looking to help out with us, then we encourage you to apply. We have a little application that you can fill out if you go to podtagabit.com/apply. Everything is voluntary. It's not something that we can just pay you for. Everything that we do is pretty much free to everyone listening or watching. So if you're looking to help us make some content or help us out with writing articles, making videos, or anything else, then please go ahead and on over to podtagabit.com/apply. We'd be happy to consider having you guys as part of the staff. And this is the third time I'll say, and this is the for sure time that we're leaving, but thank you for everyone tuning in for this episode of the podcast. We will see you guys tomorrow for Fraggin' Fridays. That will be surrounded by me playing some Halo 5 matchmaking. And then GT will be doing his regular MCC customs and matchmaking at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. And then we will have another set of games for Halo 5 coming here pretty soon. So we'll get details on all that with stream schedules and event schedules and all that stuff here up on our website here this weekend. So make sure you tune into that. See you guys pretty soon if you're going to be in the game night. And if not, see you guys next week for the podcast. Keep on fragging trucks.